Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM. And thanks to modern technology, we're actually broadcasting today from a really beautiful and historical place called the Tokelin Hotel, located right on the Pacific Ocean, about an hour and 15 minutes away from Olympia, Washington, south of Seattle. The energy here is wonderful. It's from Lemuria, and it's very high vibration. And I'm having a free wine and spirits paranormal event today with free oysters. And you're all welcome to come until the oysters, of course, run out. But we'll be here till 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon and through the evening tonight and tomorrow as well. And I have some incredible people here. I've got myself as well as Carol and Jerry White. They're some fantastic aura readers. We have Michiko Hayashi from all the way from Tokyo giving a presentation tomorrow at 12 noon on the messages from water. She'll also be doing some water ceremonies. The hotel itself is full of paranormal activity. Catherine White, I want to thank her so much for helping me sponsor this event. There's all kinds of ghosts here in the hotel, and we'll be bringing them in here very shortly. Also, we'll be bringing in some Native American spirits in the area, and so it should be a program that's going to be really out of this world today. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for their support and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. Also would like to thank everyone's support for this radio program. And if you'd like to, because we're supported by donations. And if you'd like to support this program, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I really appreciate your help and support because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I have a new television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Olympia, Seattle area. It's also available on YouTube either under my name, Ted Marr, or Out of This World. There are now over 55 episodes available on YouTube, and they're all free. You don't have to pay anything for them, so I hope you enjoy them. I want to thank everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place, including my good friend Marku from Finland, Jan Rossini from California for her wonderful support, as well as Anita Curtis from Dublin, Ireland, Dorothy from Montreal, Jason in beautiful North Vancouver, Canada, and Shirley and Marion Elias Neuschwanger from Costa Rica. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Spirit Spiritual Center in Tacoma and Tom Palladino, a famous scalar energy healer. Tom has a new program where he's got 15 days trial of his scalar energy healing. And if you like, you can go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. In the lower left-hand corner is a new banner ad for his program. Also, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's on my website and providing wonderful support. My friends in the Galactic Alliance who have been supporting my show, my Angelic and Earthly Family, and KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. Carol lost her father recently. I'd like to ask everyone listening today, please send lots of love and light to her and her mom and her family to help them with the loss of their beautiful father. Also, I'd like to ask everyone listening today to send lots of love and light to Masako, Michiko Hayashi's mother in Japan, who had a stroke last year. Thank you so much for sending them your love and light. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, or to contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. And with that, I just remembered something that several listeners in Switzerland and Germany told me last year. They said I talked Schnell English. My English was too fast for them to understand. So I'm going to speak. I think I'll slow down a little bit so for my listeners around the world, they can understand a little bit better. Today and tomorrow, through about late in the afternoon tomorrow, I'm having a special free wine, spirits, and free oysters paranormal event here at the Tokelin Hotel in Tokelin, Washington. I'm sitting in the hotel now. I'm broadcasting live from there. And there are all kinds of spirits around us today. There's also some ancient Native American spirits as well with us today. Earlier today, I visited Charlene Nelson, the chair, wonderful chairwoman of the Shearwater Bay Tribe, invited her to the show. I don't know if she can come on, but I hope she can. The proceeds from the benefit from this event will benefit the Moto Peace Project, of course, which is a children's charity. And again, I'm getting the message to slow down for my listeners in Switzerland, so I'll slow down a little bit. The website for the Moto Peace Project is www.emotopeaceproject.me or .net. If you're out on the roads today and you're in the Seattle or Tacoma area, it's very simple to get here. You drive down to Olympia and then you head south, or you head, sorry, west to Aberdeen, then go south another, I don't know, 15, 20 miles to Tokelund. Now, when you're driving west toward Aberdeen, you'll know that you've gone too far if you suddenly see a sign on the road that says, "Welcome to Japan." So that's obvious. You just have to be careful you don't drive too far west. So, but anyway, this is a beautiful place surrounded by the Pacific Ocean with miles and miles of beautiful and scenic beaches. Accommodations here at the Tokelund Hotel are being provided by Catherine. She's a wonderful lady. And if you come here tonight, there's a special rate of only $35. Now, I don't think even it's cheaper. I don't think even Motel 3 or something that charges $35 a night for accommodations there. So if you are, if you'd like to come out tonight, it's a beautiful place. Also, free wine will be donated by the local winery called the Cranberry Road Winery in Westport, along with free oysters donated by Brady's Oysters in Westport. I'll be bringing in someone from Brady's Oysters in a few minutes. I'll be giving psychic readings along with Carolyn and Jerry White, who will be giving aura readings. Now, someone may ask, well, what is an aura reading? Carolyn's with me here. And Carolyn, could you tell my listeners what exactly is an aura reading, quick, please?
An aura reading is we take a picture of your energy field, your aura, and your chakras. And when we look at that, we do an interpretation of it is based upon the biofeedback and color psychology and also our intuitive wisdom and intuitive insights. So really what we're looking at, and you can see it too, which is actually one of the marvelous things about the technology, that you can see what we're talking about, you can see the colors, your energy field, how your energy is flowing at this time. So really we're marrying ancient wisdom with modern technology.
Well, that sounds pretty like a lot of fun. And the one thing I've noticed too, let's say that someone is in a really really bad mood one day, and Carolyn, you'll take a picture of their aura. Well, you take a picture of somebody's upset, it's one picture, it's one color. Is that right?
Well, the main color, your main kind of soul color, doesn't change that much over time. What you're bringing into your energy field, which we can see, if you're angry or upset, it really does make an impact on what the energy looks like, what color it is. A number of years ago, we did a family aura and chakra photo of our son, daughter-in-law, and granddaughter. Our granddaughter was about a year and a half old at the time. Well, everything was going smoothly, and the colors were all nice and beautiful. And all of a sudden, our granddaughter wanted to touch the keyboard of the computer we were using, and her mom said, "No, no, get your hands off of there. No, don't touch that." And all of a sudden, our granddaughter just broke into crying, and she was just so upset. And the entire energy field just turned this bright, vibrant red. So, yes, it does make a lot of difference what your thoughts are, what your energy is, and the more peaceful and harmonious and high vibration your energy, the clearer and brighter the colors.
Well, let me ask you a serious question. I've often wondered this myself. I've just eaten a large portion of a homemade berry pie here, blackberry pie, at the Tokelund. Now, I don't know how could that the food, all the food here is homemade. Catherine is so nice. She just gave it to me. I had a taste test to make sure it was adequate for eating. Does that affect my aura of good food like that?
I've done before and afters of lunch, and if the food's good, there's really not that much impact. But if the food is a greasy spoon, I've seen effects in the sacral chakra and the solar plexus chakra. So quality of food does impact what's going on with your energy system.
Okay. Well, I can state with authority that the food here is excellent, and it's all homemade, and it's very reasonable too. So if you do come out, you'll have some fun. Now tomorrow on Saturday, March 31st at 12 noon, Michiko Hayashi will be giving a presentation here at the Tokelen Inn, Tokelen Hotel, on Messages from Water from Dr. Emoto. The presentation is free, and I hope you can all come. Also, for those of you in the Seattle-Tacoma area and Olympia, Michiko will also be giving a free presentation at about 7 p.m. at the Poodle Dog Restaurant in Fife, Washington, just off of the I-5 freeway. I hope you can come to her wonderful... No, not free. Oh, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. It's $15, but it goes to a good benefit, and it should be a fun event. The one thing I like about the Tokelen is that there's all kinds of Lemurian energy. I've been down to Mount Shasta many times, and this summer, actually, I'll be taking people to Mount Shasta twice. The first time from July 2nd through the 8th, and the second time from September 6th through the 11th. And while I'm there, we hope to see lots of Sasquatch UFOs flying in and out of Mount Shasta, as well as to try to gain entry to the cities of Telos and Shambhala, which we have been able to do in the past. If you are interested in going to Mount Shasta, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. I already have about four or five people registered for the July Mount Shasta trip, and another several or more have registered for the September trip. So it will likely fill up fast, and this year I'm going to be limiting the number of people coming because I don't want a huge group. It's much easier to, much better experience to have a relatively small number of people. So don't wait. The cost is only $200 per person for the week, and includes free dry camping. Now, dry camping means that you won't be camping out in the middle of a swamp and wake up in the morning with it being wet. You'll be sleeping on a dry ground within about 500 yards of major entrances to Telos in the hollow earth. And we usually do prayers and meditation every day and try to gain entry. We've been successful in gaining entry the last couple of years. The first trip I took to Mount Shasta was in September of 2016, and during that trip, there were a group of Koreans, about six people from Korea, who were able to physically enter into the Hollow Earth, and they physically went to Telos and Shambhala. The other times I've been in there, just about everyone has been able to go into on the dream state or astral plane into the Hollow Earth, but you have to do some prayers and meditation, and there's certain spiritual events that you have to follow. Also, I wanted to tell you that where I'm speaking from today, the Tokelen Hotel, it's one of the oldest hotels on the West Coast, built in 1868, and the name itself, Tokelen, is named after a local Native American here named Old Tok, and that's how the restaurant and the hotel got its name. We will be bringing in ghosts and spirits who live here at the Tokelen Hotel, and also the Tokelen Hotel is also full of all kinds of paranormal activity. Just last night I saw several ghosts walking around the hotel, and they're benevolent. We call them the friendlies, and I have good friends who live close to right next to the Tokelen Hotel, and they also have friendly ghosts as well. And I'll ask my friend Larry here. Larry, do they ever come in for a dinner or anything, or how do you know they're there? Do they knock on your door late at night? What do they do? Well, this is Larry. He lives next door to the Tokelen.
It depends on what we're serving. If we're serving really good food, they'll show up. If it's not good food, they don't show up. So.
Okay. All right. Now your house itself, it used to be, what did it used to be, Larry?
Well, it was known as the Old Cap's Tavern. And it was open for about 20 years as a tavern and has been refurbished to a two-bedroom, two-bath home. My wife and I's front room is 24 foot wide by 54 foot long, and it's the old tavern. We kept it the way it was, the floor and the walls and the back bar. So it's every man's dream to own their own tavern. I just don't let anybody right. in except friends.
Right, right. Now, there's something interesting in your living room as well. You have a headstone from a local gravesite.
Yeah, when we purchased the house, there was two gravestones in there. It's interesting to get on Google and research who the person is, but if you want me to go into it, that'll take up the other hour and a half.
No, that's fine. That's okay. Fine. That's fine. In 25 words or less, have you seen the ghost there in your house?
The ghost of the tombstone?
Yes, the ghost of the tombstone.
I don't know. He didn't identify okay. with me to who he was.
Sure. Sure. Well, next time your ghost friend shows up, could you ask him? Have him give me a call, and I'd be happy to interview him.
Yeah. Well, he has a cell phone. You can get a hold of him.
All right. Okay. That's great. That's great. That's great. Well, sitting to my right is Carolyn White. She's a wonderful aura reader, and I'm going to be having her with me today to bring in some of the ghosts who live here. Now, we were on the show about a year ago, Carolyn. Is that right? 2 years ago?
It was a year in October, so a year and a half now.
A year and a half ago. And when we were here, I want to start with Native American spirits first. You brought in, I believe it was a Native American spirit, if I remember correctly, from the 15th century, whose name was Washtakna. Washtakna-lo. Could you, if you don't mind, I don't know if he's busy today or not, but would you ask him if he'd like to come on, maybe give us some messages? I would enjoy hearing from him.
Well, what he is saying, and he says that I'm always here. He says, I am part of the land now. I am here as a guardian. I want to bring as much energy to this area of peace and well-being and to preserve the area for all the generations to come. And one of the messages that he's giving me, and also the ones that you refer to as the friendly ghost, a lot of times spirits, and I discovered this when I had my shady side of death, near-death experience, is that a lot of times that what we call the friendly ghost will stay here to help those make the transition and also to help kind of purify, to clean, to preserve the energies around us, to preserve the beauty here. So the Native Americans, that the original people that were here, they have stayed behind to preserve the land and to bring the energy and to help us clean the water, to keep our air clean, and all of the resources. And this is, he's here and he says, I will never leave this area as you concerned in the three-dimensional time. I will never leave this area as far as anyone is concerned in three-dimensional time. I am here. I am part of the land.
Beautiful, beautiful. We spoke to the tribal chairwoman today and I asked her to come. I know she's busy. But I want you all to, for those tribal members listening today from this area, you have a lot, and I'm sure you know this already, you obviously have a lot of beautiful Native American spirits who are helping you now.
Oh, for sure. And that is the thing, is that there are certain, we talk about when someone passes that they go to the light. Well, a lot of times the spirits decide to stay here, to stay more in touch with our three-dimensional reality, and they are here to help us. People have had experiences with angels that have helped them in accidents. Mm-hmm. These are all beings, beautiful beings, that are helpers. It is part of their karma. It is part of their soul mission to be here in a non-corporeal form and help us. And this is why a lot of the Native Americans, the Native people that have been here in this land, in Tokeland, in this area, have a long lineage of their ancestors that are here, that are helping them. Like our friend from the 15th century, and he said that there are beings, there are entities here that have been here for thousands and thousands of years. They are the guardians, they are the teachers, they are the medicine people that are preserving and helping us to reach that higher level of vibration, to reach ascension.
What a beautiful message that is. What a beautiful message. Now, I'll be calling, this area has a fascinating history, actually, because on November 25th, 1979, there was an actual UFO crash that happened just north of here at the Elks River, on the Elks River Bridge. And of course, it's been covered up. I used to live out in this area actually during the 90s for about 4 or 5 years, and I never found out about a UFO crash until just a few years ago. But I'll be bringing in Corey from Brady's Oysters. Brady's Oysters donated a bucket of oysters today. So as part of the festivities, and I want to thank them for doing that. They have wonderful seafood products. And actually, the UFO crashed not far from where they are, maybe about a mile and a half away from where they're located. But there's all kinds of paranormal activity out here, and it's very interesting. I want to get into this more, too, Carolyn, in a few minutes. But there's also local ghosts here, aren't there? Is Charlie here? I'm just curious.
Charlie's around, yes. Charlie has lots of fun, and lots of fun with people. Mm-hmm. And he is. There's been a lot of rumors about him, but he is very much here at the inn. And again, he's kind of likes to play little tricks on people, but he's really very lighthearted. And loves to have interact with people. And I think a lot of times if anyone encounters any kind of spirit or any kind of phenomenon, is to not react in fear, because just to ask, just say, hi, how are you? What's your name? You know, can you tell me why you're here? And to have a lot of fun with the spirit or the entity. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is because they are beings as well. And then if you have any doubts, just say, are you of the light?
Right.
And if they say no, just say, well, you know, goodbye, go to the light. But if they are of the light, just say, are you here for my highest good? Are you here for the highest good of all and to help? So the thing is that it's not to approach anything that is things that go bump in the night with fear, is to approach it just with a positive neutrality. And you can have all kinds of fun talking to Charlie. There's another, a younger presence that I feel here. Her name is Annie. And Annie used to play around here even before the Tokelin Inn was built, before the first settlers were here. And she passed quite young, but, you know, she's running around here. And I say that any time that you can have any kind of experience like that, is to just approach it in very neutral way.
Beautiful. That's just beautiful. Eric, could you please call Corey at Brady's Oysters? I'd like to bring him on for a few minutes, and then we'll go back to our guests here. That would be great. In the meantime, there is a lot of paranormal activity here. There's actually a paranormal log. When you check into the hotel and stay here for a night or a weekend, the management here encourages you to write in the log and find and document your experiences. Charlie himself was a Chinese man, very nice man, but he didn't have any papers. He was illegally here. And so I believe he passed away in 1937, if I get the date right. You get that date right?
Yeah, it was in 37. And his name, I think, was like Qin Li, or it wasn't. Charlie was his anglicized name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was asphyxiated.
Okay. Asphyxiated.
Well, he was like hiding behind a chimney, or he was in kind of in, and he, I think that he actually, I just feel that he lost air, that he wasn't able to breathe, and that's how he, like carbon monoxide, and that's how he passed.
Oh my goodness. That's such a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, hopefully, Charlie's in a better space now, and things are will be going better for him. I'd like to leave Charlie, if I could, and Washtakna Lo, our ancient spirit here, and bring in Corey from Brady's Oysters. Corey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm hearing
you a little bit. Okay, good. I hope you can hear us okay. Corey, I want to thank you so much for donating these delicious oysters to the Wine and Spirits event. And also, too, I want to give a good plug for your business because you have wonderful seafood there. And you also go to local farmers markets in Ballard, don't you?
Yes. We do the New District Farmers Market on Saturday and the West Seattle Farmers Market on Sunday and the Ballard Market on Sunday. And then we'll be starting Puyallup on the 21st of April and the Tacoma Broadway Market.
My goodness. Well, you'll be doing a lot of driving then, won't you?
Yes. We have two vans and we do a lot of traveling.
Okay. All right. Well, could you list those again for all my listeners? Because many people live in Tacoma and Seattle. I know they'd love to visit you.
Yeah, the New District Farmers Market in the that's on Saturday, 9 to 2. And the West Seattle Farmers Market is on Sunday, and the Ballard Farmers Market is on Sunday also. And then the Puyallup Farmers Market starts April 21st, and that's on Saturday. And then the Tacoma Broadway Market starts May 4th, and that's on Thursdays at downtown Tacoma.
That's wonderful. Now, when I stopped by to see you yesterday, Corey, you gave me a book called Westport UFO Crash, and that's a fascinating book. In the book itself, it details how a UFO crash landed not far from where your business is located on the Elks River, about 4 miles from Westport, on November 25th, 1979. Corey, are you there?
Where I'm at right now is where the military went up there, grabbed whatever it was.
Have you heard anything about what happened to the UFO crash since that time?
No. It's just, like it says in the book, they never really resolved it. No one ever, and there was a lot of eyewitnesses. Most of the people I know, because I live around here, you know, the population was a lot smaller too in 79, so pretty much knew almost everyone in the book.
Right. Well, I contacted my friends in the Galactic Alliance, and they said that was actually a reptilian UFO that was shot down by the Galactic Alliance, and that's why it ended up there. And what the government did, the Black Ops portion of the U.S. government, is that they captured the UFO and took it to Area 51, where they back-engineered it. That was one of the crashed ones they engineered, and they use that technology now in their own secret space program. That's one of several different UFOs which the U.S. government has captured over the years. You know what would be fun to do, and as tourist attraction, would be to put a big sign at Brady's Oysters and say something like, near this site on November 25th, 1979, at approximately 10 p.m., a UFO from another planet crash-landed here.
Oh, yeah. I've been by the Area 51, and they have a place there where you can stop. It's like a gas station, and they have memorabilia and stuff. Similar to Roswell then.
Yeah, absolutely. I was there in November actually. I know exactly what you mean. Well, this book that Corey, thank you so much, Corey, for loaning me your book. I'll get it back to you tomorrow. It's called West UFO Crash. It's by a fellow named James Clarkson, Clarkson. He's the director for MUFON for the state of Washington, the Mutual UFO Network. So it's an interesting book, the book itself is good, but it doesn't answer where they came from, what happened to the craft. And my galactic friends once again say there was a reptilian craft that was shot down by the galactics. The U.S. government, once they captured it, took it to Area 51 and engineered it. So that technology now has entered into the sacred space program. But, you know, I lived out in Westport for years in the 90s, and I never heard about it at all. Nothing. Nobody ever told me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until went to a UFO conference about 3 or 4 years ago that somebody told me about it. And I had no idea. I had no idea. But you might think about putting a large, you could put a sign up with a large plastic UFO crash landed there and said, Brady's oysters are really out of this world. Something like that. And you'd have my permission if you like.
That's a good idea. Well, I'm glad it didn't crash right here. I mean, but yeah, it was kind of a very remote area. That's why it was so easy for me. That's why nobody could go look at it or anything. The military just kept everyone out. So.
Right, right. Well, it's like so many things, they just keep it secret and hope we'll forget. But people don't forget. And people aren't stupid either. And I think they should stop treating us like children and have full disclosure. So, and but I know that process is underway. But anyway, well, if you're in the Westport area, please stop by and see Corey at his wonderful Brady's Oysters. They're right across the Elks River Bridge where that UFO crashed in 1979. And also, Corey will be in Ballard, West Seattle. Wow, you'll be a lot of places. Ballard, West Seattle, Tacoma, and Puyallup as well this weekend. Yeah. And they have wonderful seafood there and all kinds of oysters and clams and all kinds of things. So, and the prices are very reasonable. And I can't say enough good things about you and your business there, Corey.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And I want to thank both Corey and Christy for supporting Out of This World Radio. You have a wonderful product. And thanks so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. All right. All right, Corey. You take care. Anyway, we are at the ocean today. And anyway, I want to go back to to bringing in some of these Native American spirits. I was going to ask you too. Washtuknalo, is that right?
Washtuknalo.
Washtuknalo. Yes. I was going to ask, what does he see for the future of humanity as long as we take good care of this planet?
This is the thing. Washtuknalo says to me that it is so important for us to remember we are co-creators. We are stewards of this planet, and we are also the co-creators of what happens to this planet. So it is so important that it is up to us, that if we choose to honor Mother Earth, if we choose to honor Gaia and honor one another and raise our vibration, that there will be a beautiful future on this earth. So the choice is up to us. And it is like Washtuknalo and the other guardians are here to help us remember what we need to do in order to keep the vibration, raise the vibration of high of Mother Earth, of to honoring Mother Earth and all the creatures on her, and to honor life. Life is sacred.
Mm. Beautiful. That's so beautiful. You know, I was in the tribal chambers earlier this today with the local tribe here, and there was a picture that I took. They had a huge notice on taking care of the environment. I wanted to read that now. See if I can find it. There it is. It read this one. I want to go by your friend here. It said, "The elders are watching. They told us to tell you the time has come. They want you to know that they feel. So listen carefully. Look toward the sun. The elders are watching. The land and water are all holy and sacred." This was written I found this in the tribal chambers this morning.
And see, the elders are the guardians. The elders are the ones that are here protecting the land. Mm-hmm. And so it is so important that we respect each other, that we respect Mother Earth, that we respect all life. Mm-hmm. Life is a gift. Life is precious.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. Are there other friendly spirits here in the hotel who would like to come through today?
Well, Charlie is just telling me. He says, "I've been around here and I fix things, a lot of things that are or make bring attention to things in the hotel that are broken or need attention to."
I see.
He's very much still here. He's part of the hotel, and he also is acting like a guardian. So if there's a light or something, that electricity that needs fixing, he makes it flicker. If something isn't working quite right, he may pop a knob off. But Charlie has been here in the hotel just really because he's really concerned about it because of how he met his end. So he doesn't want any other accidents to happen to people that are in the hotel. So,
Catherine, the owner of the hotel, told me last year, about a year ago, that there was a fuse in a breaker upstairs that was going bad. And Catherine, could you tell my listeners about what happened? Charlie's with us now. If you have time. If you don't, that's fine. Okay, sorry. There was a time where a breaker had gone bad, and Charlie said he's fixed it. Could you ask Charlie about that?
Well, it's like Charlie was the one that was flickering lights that I'm getting, that he's saying that if he hadn't had brought the attention to it so that the ones in the three-dimensional reality could physically fix it. So he was the one that alerted everybody that there was a problem with this.
Oh, wow. I knew it was him because Catherine here, the owner of the property, couldn't figure out what was going on. And once the light started flickering, she checked it out, then she got it fixed. Because Charlie said that if she hadn't gotten it fixed, there could have been problems.
And that's why he's here on this earth, and he's here to help and protect others that are in the hotel. And he didn't want to see any harm come to it, any of the people here, because again of what happened to him. So this is all part of his service to others, that he is here. And there's a lot of people that have passed that are helpers and helping this out. And that's why I say it again, is to approach them with love and compassion instead of fear, and to talk to them.
Tell me this, Watch Tok Na Lo, he's been able to see things and also look into the future too. What was it like? What was life like for him when he was living here back in the 15th century?
The air was pure. The water was cleaner. The water level actually was a lot lower than now. The water level has increased. The stars were in slightly different positions. And beautiful land, animals, deer, wildlife, birds, it was like a garden of Eden here. He's showing me pictures of what the life was like, just pastoral. It's almost the shells on the beach. The air was just so much, in fact, I'm kind of experiencing that now. The air was just so much fresher and always had this nice salt. You could just smell the salt air even farther inland. Beautiful, beautiful place. A lot of magic, a lot of good positive energy here. But definitely the water level was a lot lower. There was more coastland, what he's showing me.
What happened when the European settlers came in the 19th century, if I may ask?
Disease.
Okay.
Pollution.
All right.
Control. Wanting to take the salmon and put it into artificial houses. Canning. Mm-hmm. And they not honoring the animals that were consumed for food. Just a whole disrespect of Mother Nature.
I see. Interesting. Have things gotten better since the 19th century?
They have gotten more complicated since the 19th century. There are certain things that have improved. There's other things that haven't. One of the great things that he says that has improved is the awareness. The awareness of people is growing. Back in the 19th century, there wasn't the awareness, the care. Now there are more and more people. And he says the more people that are aware, the more that the guardians can be there and help this planet and help the people that are aware of the guardians.
From Washtakna Lo's perspective from the 15th century, what can people do today to protect the environment? I know that's an obvious question, but I'd love his advice, people listening today.
It's all about what you as an individual do. What do you consume? Are you eating fresh foods? Are you taking care of your garbage? Are you living a big footprint or a small footprint? Every day, every breath that you take, everything that you do, there needs to be awareness of Mother Earth and of conserving that, especially of the water. Do you honor your water? Do you put prayers in your water? Do you put the, because you are also water. And water is a great, water has a lot of teachings for us. So the main thing that people can do is be aware of what is happening, for one thing, with the water on their planet, as it goes in their body, as they use it for just things like brushing your teeth. Do you let the faucet run? Do you turn the faucet off? Because that water is all precious. So it's awareness. It's developing that awareness of everything that you do.
Do you think some people take Washtakna Lo? Thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. Do you think some people take water for granted?
Oh, for sure, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And water is life. Water is our lifeblood. Water is so important for all of us. If we didn't have water, we would not have plants. We would not have food to eat. So we would not live. So water is our lifeblood, and it is very important that we pay attention to where it's coming from, where it's going, and what we're doing with the water.
Now, here's another question for our friend. Washtakna Lo, President Kennedy has told me that he tried to institute changes in society before he was assassinated, and those changes came from the top down. But he's also said in the same breath that everyone today is doing their part to make it to make the planet a better place from the bottom up. And does he see that happening now as well?
This is the awareness. Yes, this is from, it's, as you say, top down, bottom up. It is with each one of us. We are conscious co-creators. We, each individual, is a power sovereign being. And when we activate that and we realize that we are the change that is needed, then that is when the change happens. So it is so important for each and every one of your listeners out there to realize that they are powerful and that they can start today being aware of what is needed to do, where your water is coming from, and just small things, that's where it starts, those small steps.
I want to say this to our friend today, is that I can tell that the vibrations of the planet are really rising rapidly. And, you know, for my first-time listeners out there, I'm a psychic. I've been in touch with the other side for the past 24 years. And it's as normal for me to talk to somebody, a spirit on the other side, as it is for me to talk to someone here in this third dimension. And what's fantastic about that is that I've been able to talk to President Kennedy, Nostradamus, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, and now, with Carolyn's help, we're talking to you, Washtakna Lo, a beautiful spirit who's timeless, who came back from the 15th century. But we can ask you today for your advice and about how to make this planet a better place. Because you are on the other side, you're able to move through time dimensions and see far into the future, and we can ask you for advice, because I don't think anybody wants another war. Nobody wants to pollute and destroy the planet. We want to protect Mother Earth and treat her with respect and love, because that's what she deserves.
Yes, and as I have witnessed, there's a movement that says the vote with your dollars, vote with your feet. I don't know how that modern saying is. So if there's products that you look at how they are manufactured. You look at where they come from. If you do not agree with the source, then you vote with not paying your dollars for those products. And that's something that it is. It's all in each individual's hands to do what they can. I really, getting from what Takanolo, that every day is to do something to help the environment, to do something to bless the water, to do something to empower yourself, and this will help raise the vibration and the world around us.
Mm-hmm. Very, very beautiful advice. Washtaknalo, are there any other native spirits you might like to say a few words today?
Washtaknalo says that there are so many different spirits around here that all we need to do, again, is to be ask for their help, ask for their communication, and we could be here for the next 2 days talking to all the different spirits that are around here. And they all have the same basic message. Mm-hmm. They may say something a little bit differently, mm-hmm. and they may come from a different perspective. But basically, it's all about being your power, sovereign self. So that's what Washtaknalo is telling me.
Wow, that's really incredible. One thing he said a few minutes ago is he said, vote with your feet or vote with your dollars. I mean, if you find genetically modified foods out there, don't eat them because they cause genetic damage and they're carcinogenic. 96% of the corn sold here in the United States, for example, is genetically modified. And it's got the genes of carcinogenic herbicides and Roundup and insecticides right in the corn. So when you eat that sweet corn you get from a local supermarket, if it doesn't say organic, that means it's GMO modified, and you're getting those carcinogenic genes right in your system. One of the problems, for example, with genetically modified corn is that since 1996, the incidence of what's called irritable bowel syndrome has increased by something like 10,000% as a result of genetically modified corn. And in Europe, they don't even buy genetically modified corn from the United States. They don't even feed it. It's not even considered good enough to feed to animals, but yet it's in all of our food products here. Mm-hmm. Anytime you drink a Coke in the United States, you look at the sweetener and it's corn syrup. Corn, yes. Fructose, that's genetically modified here, and it's a problem.
Yes. So that is one of the things that is to be responsible yourself for what you're doing, what you're being, and also remember that your thoughts are so important, that if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. So if you think that this world is going to be a beautiful place and that the vibrations are high, then the world will be that beautiful place. And that is so important to keep that in your thoughts, mm-hmm. and keep that, if you want to call it, in your prayers as well.
Mm-hmm. I was on a radio show this morning with a gentleman named Tim Ray of United Intentions Foundation in Georgia, and we talked all about our choices will create the future, but our future is also very, very bright as well. And I'm not a doom and gloomer, absolutely not. I know that if we make right choices, we have a very beautiful future ahead of us.
Yeah. Well, definitely, and that's the message that I got from Washtaknalo, and also other beings that I've talked to, is that we do have a choice. That the future is very bright, and we have to remember to keep following that light. We have to keep remembering to say things to ourselves and others that are positive and light-affirming. Life-affirming. So it is so important that we follow that. Again, it's everything that we do. It's also appreciating what you have. And when you appreciate things, when you give thanks, it, and well, I know Michiko Hayashi is going to be on soon that talking about the work of Dr. Emoto, as Dr. Emoto showed that with the water crystals, that the water crystals that were beautiful were ones that had the thoughts and the words of thank you. I appreciate you. I love you. So just to think that if that's what happens to water crystals, if you do that for your body, get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and just say, you know, I love you. You are beautiful. You are a beautiful person. You are a beautiful person from source creation. And I think that the more people do that on an individual basis and smile is the best way to give yourself a facelift. And remember, it's all about what I call the clown chakra, not the crown, but the clown chakra, because vibration of love and laughter breaks up any kind of negative energies. So please remember that you are a powerful sovereign being, and it is up to you to make those choices to help us attain that bright and beautiful future, because the future really is here now.
Right. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Well, are there any other spirits? We've got a few minutes left before we have to go on, take a station break and come back for the second hour, Carolyn.
There's several. I keep getting this little girl by the name of Annie.
Okay.
And Annie is very, very playful and running around. And she wants to tell people that when she was quite young, she came down with what we would call the scarlet fever.
Oh, really?
And what happened is that the native, the people in this area, the ancestors or the people after Washtaknilo helped her by giving her herbs and natural medicines around here. And she said that one of the things that she was learning is about how there's these beautiful plants, the plants on this earth that resonate with the vibration to help heal and remove illness.
Wow, beautiful.
And then she was she fell down in the rocks or something that on the coast here and hit her head, and she was about 27. So she says that this is just such a special area because it holds so many healing, not only the healing energy but the herbs and the information of the people around here. This is a very strong lineage of very positive, life-affirming type energy here.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I have felt that the same energy that I felt around Mount Shasta actually is the same energy around here. It's Lemurian, a very positive, high vibration, fifth dimensional energy.
Yeah. Well, this is once, many, many years ago, this was once part of Lemuria, because Lemuria wasn't just one isolated area. Lemuria, well, the Lemurians actually had various areas where they settle, and they were attracted to land that had magnetic, what you would call a magnetic or energetic properties with a lot of quartz around it. So this is one of these areas that they came here. And another reason that they came here is because of harvesting some of these beautiful herbs and medicinal plants that grow around here. The leeches and the lichens.
Are those plants still around today?
They are, but they're a lot of them, the areas, and that's probably why she came in. A lot of the areas have been paved over. A lot of the areas have been so they are still around. And again, the guardians have with this information that they do pass along to the elders, the ones that are interested. And it's just going out and asking for that information, and they will show those that are in tune with that where these plants are. And but yes, there's still a lot of that, a lot of the plants and things around the area.
Beautiful. Well, we're getting close to the end of this first hour, friends, and then the next hour we'll bring in more Indian spirits with Carolyn White as well as Michiko Hayashi talking about the importance of water. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening today. Please stay tuned. We'll take a station break now. I'll be back in just a few minutes.